Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is moving in this place already. We thank you for the fresh anointing. Lord, we open up our hearts and our minds, O God, to receive your word today, O God. We shall be renewed, refreshed, O God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Yes, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we are eager to keep going, but we have a limited time in this service today. Amen. I assure you, in the next 15 minutes, this service will be over. Amen. So get ready. You might miss something, so be ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank God for this opportunity given to me by our senior pastor to minister the word. I'm so grateful to him. And I trust that the Lord, by his spirit, will minister his word to every single one of us here today. Praise God. Right. So let's kick it off. Time is going. This message is very brief, as I said, and I'm going to title it, Come Closer. Amen. Amen. Let us look at John chapter 16, verse 7. Something our senior pastor shared during the midweek service, and it just stuck with me. And for the sake of time, let's go straight to the Amplified. John chapter 16, verse 7, the Amplified. And the Bible says there, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. He will not come into close fellowship with you. Somebody say close fellowship. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Close fellowship. He's not just coming just to hang around you and then you just let him do what he wants to do. He wants to come in fellowship. So what is fellowship? That word there is, in the Bible, is koinonia from the Greek. And it says, it means fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation. Joint participation. So it's not just the Holy Spirit doing his own thing and you just being an onlooker. You are participating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. To birth the purpose of God here on earth. It is partnership, intimacy. So it is not just being together with the Holy Spirit. It is also doing together with him. Amen. Someone like me, you can be in the same room with me and I'm not going to say anything to you. Not because I have issues with you, but that's just my nature. I will be quiet for an hour, for a day. That's just it. I'm not a conversation starter. Amen. So if you have something to say, you can say, and we just say it for the next 5 minutes and that's it. And we are mute. I ain't got issues, but hey, it's just the way it is. Amen. So you can be together with someone in the same room like I do sometimes, but you are not really in fellowship. You are not communicating with the person. So it suggests that being together with the Holy Spirit means there is communion. There is communication. You are speaking to him. He is speaking to you. Yes. Amen? And it also means doing together. So for someone like me, being in the room with you, I'm not doing anything with you. We are not achieving anything together. So the Holy Spirit being in communion with you means that he is achieving specific things with you and through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So being in close fellowship. Being in close fellowship means that there has to be communication. It is continuous. It is continued communication with the Holy Spirit. You long to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You long to hear his voice. You are led by him, inspired by him. You walk by the Spirit, like Minister Brian taught us. But the Holy Spirit is the one actually orchestrating your movement. And you are obedient. You're just following Him and flowing with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just pause here before I go ahead to say that I hope you understand that the Holy Spirit that is in a man is not different from the one in a woman. The one in a man is not more powerful than the one in a woman or in a child. Amen? The Lord did not assign, you know, a spirit that works only with women and then the one. No. The same Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 2. So, you understand that in the day of Pentecost, when you were all gathered in the same room, there wasn't like, you know, premium boarding. Oh, goodness. You know, there isn't something like, you know, okay, the first 11 disciples, you know, that were with Jesus, okay, these are the ones that would get the premium quality Holy Spirit. No. Everybody at the same time received the Spirit. Yes. We suggest that the Spirit that is in operation in a man of God or in someone you consider to be so anointed is no different from the one that is operating in you. So what is the difference? Because one is seeing more manifestations, but you are not seeing that much. The difference is one is in close communion. That is it. You wonder, this man of God, I mean, look at everything happening in his life. I mean, he must be stealing church funds. No, he is in close communion. It will amaze you. Most men of God don't even take a paycheck home. But the Lord is manifesting his glory, his power in their lives. And you wonder, oh man, you know what? You know, there's this lazy thing a lot of people do, you know. They don't want to walk with the Holy Spirit. All they want to do is, you know, I'll just come and drop some money and tap into that grace. You are not tapping into nothing. There is a place for sowing that seed, right? But you still have to do the work. To pause. To spend time to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can't be leading you in one way and you're going a different way. And then expect to see the manifestation of it can't work. And that's what the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians. My time is running out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. In the Amplified, it says, do not quench. And it says, suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. So it is possible to subdue the Holy Spirit. Think about it. You, a natural man, woman, you are subduing, suppressing the operation of the Holy Spirit, the greater one that is on the inside of you, the one that you need, your advantage here on earth. You suppress him. You subdue him. Why? Because you feel you know better. You've been in this business long enough, so Holy Spirit, just sit back. I got this. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end is what? The New Living Translation in this scripture says, do not stifle. Do not restrict or restrain the Holy Spirit. There are certain things that we do that will limit the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not because the Spirit of God or God is, you know, has a preference or God is, you know, picky. No. We are the ones that do certain things that limit his operation in our lives. And you see that in the book of Galatians chapter 5. You can go read that. When it's talking about walking in the flesh and being led by the Spirit of God. When you are caught up in your flesh, being led by your flesh, being guided by worldly system and the earthly wisdom, you cannot accomplish what the Lord wants for you. And we have this sense where, you know, you've been so long in church, you understand all the principles, you quote so many scriptures, you can speak in tongues and all of that, and you just believe that, you know, you are in the flow. But when you think about it, when was the last time you actually spent time with the Spirit? Listening to the Holy Spirit. Not just like our pastor said many years ago, you know, you read the scripture so you can go and preach it. You are looking for somebody who you can drop some deep revelation with. No. For me, the word of God is first to me. I'm not looking for anybody to share it with. Go and look for your own revelation. I have mine. You shall know the truth and it will make you free. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring liberation for you, to bring freedom for you. So if you are not using it, it's like somebody said that, you know, Nigeria is a place where people are prescribing things that they don't use. You know, you are offering wisdom that you don't operate in. You know, that is not general. but the person made that statement and I laughed. But in some ways, it's true. You see somebody telling you, ah, man, that job is beneath you. Come on, leave that job. The person is jobless. Someone who is jobless, who doesn't have a job, who is just lazing around, is telling somebody who has a job that, ah, that job is beneath you. Come on. And then you that have a job, you are listening to somebody who is jobless, who is not even making any headway in life. And he said, no, yeah, I'm going to quit my job. And you quit and you not join the person at home to be jobless. In the next 4 minutes, God help me, I'm just going to run through a story from the book of Judges. Amen. This is a man, Samson, chapter 16. Sorry, Judges, chapter 16. Talking about the story of Samson. This is a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. But he got to a point where he felt he was the one doing this, you know, that the Lord needs him more than he needs the Lord. That he can just do whatever and the Lord will still move. And so it got to the point in chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, Samson went to Gaza. The Spirit of God didn't lead him. And he turned into a harlot. The Bible says, at that time, the mercy of the Lord operated. And he rose up and picked up the gate of the city and moved on. Power was still in manifestation. You know, when you uproot a tree, the leaves are still green. Mercy is still in operation. You think that you are still locked in close relationship with the Holy Spirit, but the Lord is giving you a chance to turn around. He did that, and he thought, ah, the power of God is in operation. He went further, and I went to Delilah. And Delilah started to work on his mind, work on him. And he stayed there. Give me verse 19, please. I think that's it. Verse 19, the Bible says, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks on his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now, look at this. And she said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. I will pray in tongues like I always do, because it comes from your mind. I will quote the scripture that is not backed by faith. I will go down and do the things the way I used to do it before. But you're not inspired by the Spirit. And the Bible says there, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Spirit of God had left. So he was still looking the same, feeling the same, sounding the same. He didn't lose weight because his locks left or the power of God left him. So it means that even when you are operating outside of the Spirit, you may still be able to pray in tongues and still have goosebumps. But the Spirit had already left. You're not walking by the Spirit. So the difference is you are not seeing results anymore. So you got to check, are you seeing results? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope we know that the power of God was not in the hair itself. The hair was not the same. Because every time the Spirit of God moved upon him, that was when there was a manifestation. So he had the locks all the time, but until the Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We got 1 minute. We're going to run through this. The Bible says, let's jump down straight to verse 21. And let us read this in the Amplified, I believe it is. The Bible says there, but the Philistines took him after shaking himself. The Bible says the Philistines took him. Somebody said he took him. And they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. These five things I'm going to run through real quick. The Philistines took him. When the Spirit of the Lord departs from you, then you are under the control of the flesh, under the control of the system. Amen? Amen. You become susceptible to them. You are looking for something to give you clarity and direction. When they take hold of you, the Bible says the next thing, that if they put out his eyes, you lose your vision. You don't have clear direction on, you don't even know what God is revealing and where he's showing you to go. Hallelujah. The very next thing is that they brought him down to Gaza. So the Lord was taking you up. Taking you up. But now, under the control of the flesh, you are now on a downward spiral. You're going down. You're going, you look like you are achieving something. There's movement, but the movement is downwards. You are not going toward your divine destiny. You are just doing everything everybody is doing, trying to achieve something, trying to have a semblance of accomplishment, but it's not happening. The Bible says, and they bound him, you come into bondage. That's why some people talk about being in a vicious cycle. It's like you just caught up. You are busy. You are active. But you are bound. You are stuck. And the Bible says then the next thing that he was grinding in the prison. He was grinding in the prison. So much effort. Everything is just so tedious. Your daily grind. You're just there. Just busy. Busy. But there's no fruit. No fruit. Nothing is happening. No evidence of the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. You are just sweating, trying to make the next paycheck. Even, you know, and there are these people who, they get caught up in a system where it's all about making the next paycheck, making the next money. Yeah, you got to make this money. No kingdom mentality whatsoever. No focus on the kingdom. When we talk about the kingdom, it's like, ah, please, no. I have to take care of my family. I have to do this. Oh, no, I have to get this next house. Nothing about the kingdom. So he went from being led by the Spirit of God to being bound and now caught up in the grind. The man who could lift up the gates of a city is now blind and bound and grinding in a vicious cycle. But the Bible says in the next verse that his hair grew. His hair began to grow. So there's a possibility that even though you miss it, that you can still come back. The Holy Spirit didn't go away forever. The Lord is merciful forever. Hallelujah. You can still turn around again and say, Holy Spirit, I come to you right now. Please, fall afresh on me. Fall afresh on me. David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Let that Spirit fall afresh on me. And you can get back into the business of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Somebody rise up on your feet and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can still maintain fellowship with our God. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. The Lord is still mindful of you. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how much you missed it. The Spirit of the Lord can still come right back upon you. And you can rise up like a mighty edifice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Our God is faithful. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we have received today. We bless and magnify your name, our God. You are faithful, our God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We will forever continue to walk in close communion and fellowship with you, our God. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.